All right, let's do this tonight. We're gonna continue the study that we were on last week. We're gonna do a little question and answer here, real quick. How many apostles did Christ choose while he was on earth? 12. Of course, we know that Judas Iscariot fell and he was replaced by Matthias. Question, all right, tell me, was the apostle Paul meant to be one of the 12? No, he had a very separate, distinct apostleship that was going to be very, very different than the 12. He was an apostle. There were a lot of apostles, but he was not meant to be one of those chosen 12. And we looked at that last week. And what? By the way, when Christ chose Paul to be an apostle, and Paul got saved, when Christ, to be an apostle, you had to have seen the resurrected Christ. And so Paul saw the resurrected Christ. Did Paul see him while he was on earth or while he was in heaven? He saw him, right? He said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Christ appeared to him from heaven. All right, now, when Christ chose the 12, did he choose them on earth or from heaven? On earth, exactly. And so we began to look at some differences, because one of the crucial things in understanding the Bible and being able to rightly divide God's word is that you've got to understand Paul's apostleship. I tell people, I've told my Bible Institute classes this, I've said, look, if you want to understand the Bible, there's two crucial issues that you have to understand. That's the purpose of Israel, the purpose of the nation of Israel, and you got to understand the purpose of the Apostle Paul. If you can get those two things down, you are on your way to a fruitful understanding of the Word of God. But if you don't understand Israel and you don't understand Paul, then you're in trouble, because you're not gonna be. The Bible will prove to be a very confusing book to you unless you understand those two very important issues. Now, the reason why Paul had a different, distinct apostleship from the 12 is because Israel's program, which involved the 12, would be temporarily suspended and God would do something new. Today, right now, God is forming a new creature in accordance with the mystery that he revealed to Paul. And of course, that new creature is the church, the body of Christ. We're not Israel made over. We're not Israel reformed. We're not spiritual Israel. We're not allegorical Israel. We are the church, the body of Christ. There is no Jew or Gentile. And so we know that we're distinct. We're separate. We're a new creature, and we're not Israel. So the 12, their ministry pertained to that earthly program for Israel. Paul, on the other hand, his ministry pertained to a heavenly program, and that program is the church, the body of Christ, involves the church, the body of Christ. And so we began to look at some differences between Paul and between the 12, and it'll really help us in our understanding of Scripture if we can understand these things. We looked at a couple of these, you know, how Christ called the apostles on earth, the 12. He called Paul, made a surprise appearance from heaven, and he called Paul from heaven. We talked about that. Last week we talked about the fact that the 12, their apostleship was to Israel alone, and then after the resurrection, it was to Israel first. Whereas Paul was told, you get out of Jerusalem, this isn't your ministry, you're going to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And he was sent out directly to the Gentile nations. Of course, a Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. Now, tonight, I want to look at another difference between Paul and the 12, and that is this. Go to, let's take our Bible, all right, and let's go to Galatians chapter number 1. All right, let's go there. Galatians chapter number 1. This is, of course, a letter that Paul wrote to Gentiles, the Gentile church there, I mean, in the Galatian region of Galatia. Look at it with me, Galatians chapter number 1. Actually, let's go to chapter 2 first. And notice in chapter 2, let's begin reading here in verse 7. Paul says, but contrarywise, when they, talking about the 12, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul said, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, which that's Israel, the same was mighty in me toward the, say it with me, the Gentiles. So you got the gospel of the circumcision committed to the 12, and Peter as the chief spokesman. And you say, Pastor Dan, well, what was the gospel, the good news of the circumcision? It was the good news that Israel's covenanted kingdom and blessings were on the way, that they were at hand. Christ was the Messiah, and they, when the, you know, before the resurrection, they preached, hey, he's here, the Messiah's finally here, and the king's here, the kingdom's at hand. It was good news to Israel. The kingdom is nigh, the kingdom is near. And then after the resurrection, again, they're like, hey, the Messiah, you crucified him, but he's alive. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead the third day. And now there's a renewed hope that we can have that kingdom that we've been preaching to you about for 3.5 years. The gospel of the circumcision. It was the good news to Israel that, hey, your Messiah is here. And that kingdom and all the blessings associated with that kingdom on earth is now at hand. Now, Paul said the gospel of the uncircumcision was given to him. You say, well, what was that? It was clearly something different than what the 12 had. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1 now. Go back there. Galatians 1. All right, let's look at verse 11. Galatians 1:11. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me. He's talking about when he was in Galatia. That was his first missionary journey. The gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but, he says, here's how I got it. I got my gospel I preached to you by the, say it with me, revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation just means the revealing. He said, I got my gospel straight from him. I got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven. By the way, that's why you'll see over and over, Paul will call it my gospel. Isn't that interesting? He calls it my gospel. He doesn't just say the gospel. He says it's my gospel. Well, why does he call it my gospel? Because it was given, it was deposited into his trust. It was given to him. Right, if I say that's my billfold. Let me ask you something. If I say that's my billfold, then do you take that to mean that it's mine and Pastor Rich's and Pastor Shannon's and Brother John Schoenwetter's and we all share it? If I say this is my billfold, is that what you take that to mean, that we, it's all ours? Yeah? No. No. Don't try it, Pastor Rich. Not a whole lot in there. No, if I say it's my billfold, what does that mean? Mine, right. It's my possession. It's something that either I bought or it was given to me, and now it's mine. It belongs to me. It's uniquely mine. This billfold is uniquely mine. It's my billfold. And in the same way, Paul calls it my gospel. That is, that it was uniquely something that he preached and that he had given to them there on his first missionary journey there in Galatia. He calls it my gospel. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, 2 Timothy 2:8. These are just a few examples of where he calls it my gospel. Now, Paul, here's what happened. Paul said that he had to go to Jerusalem, and that's a reference back to Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. And in Galatians, he talks about that. And listen now, stay with me. He said, I had to go to Jerusalem and I had to communicate to the 12 that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Go to Galatians 2, I'll show you. Look at verse 1. And he says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. So 14 years, he only spent about 15 days in Jerusalem, his first 14 years he was saved. But then he's referring to Acts 15. He says, 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So he takes Barnabas, takes Titus, they make the trek to Jerusalem. Why? Verse 2. And I went up by revelation. In other words, God had made it clear to Paul that he needed to do this. And I communicated unto them, and in the context, it's the apostles, the 12, I went up by revelation, communicated unto them, those at Jerusalem, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul said, I had to go to Jerusalem and communicate to them the gospel I preach to the Gentiles. Well, you know what, folks? That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it, that Paul's not out there preaching the exact same gospel that the 12 are preaching. In other words, if he's got to go and explain it to them, then it's clearly not the same. If the 12 are preaching the exact same thing to Israel that Paul's preaching to the Gentiles, then that doesn't make any sense why he would have to go there, communicate to them, and get the ones that were of reputation privately and explain it to them first before he explained it to the church body there. Yeah, no, it was different. Now, Paul calls his gospel that he got from Christ, which, by the way, if it wasn't different than Peter, then there'd have been no need for all this direct revelation from Christ. You know, Christ could have just got him to Peter, and Peter could have explained it to him. No, it was unique. In fact, Paul calls his gospel something very unique that you don't see other places. And that is, he calls it the gospel of Christ. That is a very unique phrase that is Paul's. That's his phrase. He calls it the gospel of Christ. You guys know Romans 1:16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." Yeah, you know. Let's see. Look at Galatians 1. All right, you're right there. Galatians 1:7. Look back there. Another example. He says, "Which is not another." Well, let's go back to verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, that's Paul, unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not good news. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the, and what does he call his gospel? There it is again, gospel of Christ. Look up at the screen and look at this one, 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, he says, I may make the, and what does he call it? Gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. By the way, just a side note, I didn't even plan on saying this, but you know what I love about that? He says, you know what? My reward is to be able to make the gospel of Christ, he said, without charge. Aren't you thankful that we've got a church that is preaching the gospel of Christ to this community without charge? Aren't you thankful that we're not selling tickets for Walk Through Bethlehem to give them the gospel of Christ? It wouldn't be right, would it? No. And so he says, that's my joy. That's my reward, that I can make the gospel of Christ without charge. The gospel of Christ, he calls it. You say, well, Pastor Dan, what is that gospel? The gospel of Christ, the good news. Well, why don't you do this? Take your Bible and let's go to Romans, all right? Let's look at it. Romans chapter 3. This is Paul's gospel that he preached to the Gentiles. Romans 3, and let's look at verse number 21. Romans 3:21. He says, but now the righteousness of God, Romans 3:21, I'll give you another second. I'm sorry, I probably went too fast. All right, you ready? Are you there? Are you with me? Do you have a pulse? All right, we're good. Verse 21, but now, the righteousness of God, think about that phrase, the righteousness of God, and then what's the next three words? without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, the fidelity, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that, very simple, that what? Believe. For there is no difference. Verse 24, being justified, I like that next word, freely, by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what, church? Faith, without the deeds of the law. The gospel of Christ, you know what it is, church? It is that anyone, anywhere can be saved from their sins. They can be given a home in heaven. They can be brought into a right relationship with God. They can have peace with God through simple faith in what Christ did for them on the cross. You do not have to go through Israel and become a proselyte into Judaism to be saved today. Now, there was a time when you did, but not anymore. Jesus told the woman at the well, salvation's of the Jews. There was a time when you had to do that. You had to come under the wings of the nation of Israel. But now the gospel of Christ has been revealed to Paul, and he says, you don't have to go through Israel. You do not have to keep the law. You do not have to go through the religious rites of circumcision or any of the other religious festivals or feasts or any of the things that they did in the Old Testament. You don't have to go through any of that. You can be saved. Anybody, a Gentile, anyone, anywhere. In fact, people sometimes ask me, what about a Jew today? They're saved the same way, because now we have revealed through Paul that the Gentiles were long cut off. Now Israel has been cut off. And so now anybody, anywhere is viewed the exact same way. And that is, we're all sinners that are lost. We need salvation. And if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by simple faith, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By simple faith, without the deeds of the law, we can be saved and brought into a right relationship with God. Isn't that exciting? That's the gospel of Christ right there. Now, a lot of you assume that's what they're preaching back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they weren't. Some of you assume that's what they're preaching at the beginning of Acts, but they weren't. Why? Hadn't been revealed yet, right? Paul hadn't been saved. He hadn't got it yet. Exactly. They're preaching what they knew. Go to Matthew 28. Let's look at something real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And famous passage here, verse 18. Verse 17 says, and when they saw him, the 11, because you know Judas is gone, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When Christ commissioned the 12, and this is one of five commissions, I told you, in that 40-day window after the resurrection, there were five great commissions. And he told them, he said, you're going to go and you're going to teach all nations. In Mark, he said, you're going to preach the gospel. He just called it the gospel in Mark. Acts 1, he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And so, like I said, there's different ways he put it in that 40-day window. But the question I want to pose to you is, what good news, what gospel were they to proclaim? When you look at Matthew 28 or any of the other commissions in that 40-day period after the resurrection, what exactly was he commissioning them to go and to preach and to teach the people? What gospel did they have to proclaim? Now, it couldn't have been Paul's gospel. As we said, he hadn't even been saved yet. So how do I know what gospel they're going to go out and preach? They knew exactly what they were going to preach. There wasn't any doubt in their mind, because he had just told them. Look at Matthew 24, and I'll show you what he just told them. Matthew 24. And And let's look down at verse number 14, church. Matthew 24, 14. There it is. Look at that. He's talking to the 12 now, and he says, and this gospel of the what? The good news of the kingdom. That's what they've been preaching. Now, there's going to be a little different twist after the resurrection, right? Because now that they think the Messiah is dead, so they're going to announce to him he's not dead, he's alive. But they're going to essentially preach the same good news. The Messiah is here. He is risen. He is alive. And the gospel, notice, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the, what? It matches Matthew 28, what we just read. For a witness unto who? That matches Matthew 28. And then shall the end come. Question, in their minds then, because all this is happening in a short window, then in their mind, what gospel are they going to preach when they go out and they when they begin their ministry to Israel, when the Holy Spirit comes, what gospel are they going to preach? The gospel of the what? Kingdom. Exactly right. That's exactly what they're going to preach. Isn't that what they were told to pray for? They were told to pray specifically that the kingdom would come. Thy will be done, where? On earth. As it is, they want the kingdom to come to earth. And that's the message that they were to proclaim. Look at Matthew 24:27. Look at that real quick. Matthew 24:27. Look what he tells them. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They are looking for the return of Christ to earth and the establishment of the kingdom. Go to Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25, 31. Notice he says, and when when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. When they went out to preach, they went out to preach that the good news, that Christ is returning to the earth, he's going to establish a literal, physical, visible kingdom on earth. If you look at the chart here that I have, kingdom postponed, I call this chart, because we're in the yellow parentheses in which that program's been temporarily suspended. And I told you, God's doing something new today. But if you look at that chart, you'll notice kingdom prophesied over and over in the Old Testament. This has been talked about from the beginning of time, that God's going to come and make his tabernacle with man. God's going to establish a kingdom right here on the earth with man. That's been prophesied. Then they said it's at hand. So now, all of a sudden, the program is like, whoa, okay, it's coming to a head here. Daniel 70 weeks, all that, it's at hand. Then he resurrects from the dead. They go out, and again, in the beginning of Acts, they're preaching only to Israel, and they're telling them about the Messiah and the kingdom and all that. And, of course, it's rejected. Then we're in the yellow parentheses. But when this period is over, then the kingdom is going to be declared at hand again in that tribulation time period we just read about, Matthew 24. Right, about the sun being darkened and all that. It's going to be declared in hand again, and then Christ will come back to the earth, which we just read about, sit on the throne of his glory. The kingdom will be established on the earth. The 12 will be sitting on 12 thrones. This is what they were preaching. They didn't know that yellow parentheses was going to be there. They didn't know that would happen. All that was given to Paul later. They didn't get any of that. They didn't know that. They understood the kingdom program. And that's why he told them in Matthew 24, you're going to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And that's exactly what they did. They did it in the early part of Acts. And they told Israel, hey, you guys, you crucified your Messiah. You dummies. Right? That's what that's the Greek, all right? Now, a little Greek for you right there. But, yeah, you dummies, you took your Messiah and you nailed him on a cross. But I got good news. That kingdom program's still available because he's alive. He rose from the dead and he's alive. And that kingdom program is still legitimately on the table. Now, that's what they preached. In fact, we're not going to take the time right now to look at it. But in Acts 3, that's what they preached. But you know what? Go ahead and turn there. I think that's okay. We got time. Go to Acts 3 real quick. I can show it to you. This is what they told Israel right after Christ ascended to heaven. And the day of Pentecost comes. And they're in Jerusalem. And in Acts 3, look at verse 19. Here's the instruction. Acts 3:19. He says there, to Peter's preaching to Israel in Jerusalem, and he says, hey, repent ye therefore. In other words, change your mind. You crucified him. He talks about that a little higher up. Verse 14, you denied the Holy One. You desired a murder. Verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God's raised from the dead. So he says, verse 19 to Israel, repent ye therefore, and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. Notice, when? This isn't going to happen immediately. Now today, when we get saved, do we have our sins forgiven immediately? Yes or no? Notice, this is a future remitting. This is a future. He says, when? He says, you need to repent. He said, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the... By the way, if you look at that chart, you'll notice Christ is going to come down to the earth. See that over there in the kingdom? That's what he's talking about, because look what he says. He says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the, who shows up? The presence of the Lord is going to show up on the earth, right? And he calls it the times of refreshing, talking about that kingdom. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which is again over here when the kingdom is established. That's when everything is going to be brought back where it should be, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, that this is what they're preaching. They're, and I want you to look up at the chart again. This is what they know. This is what they've been schooled in. The 40-day window after the resurrection, what do we read in Acts 1? It says he spent 40 days with them, speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom. This is what they knew. This is what God wanted them to know at that time. And so the Bible's a book of progressive revelation. Just don't ever forget that. Just don't try to read future revelation into the past. Just let it be what it is. And they are schooled in the kingdom program. They've been preaching it for 3.5 years throughout Israel. Christ has went away, but he spent 40 days after the resurrection talking to them about the kingdom. And then after he goes away, he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me. They go and they tell Israel that he's alive. We're witnesses. We saw him with our own eyes. He is alive. Your Messiah is alive. And you need to repent, and you need to join up with us, is basically what they say. You need to become part of this little flock of believers, because if you repent, then you're going to be able to go into that kingdom. Your sins will be blotted out when those times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, and he makes restitution for all things. You can be a part of that program, Israel, if you'll repent and get your heart right. And well, that was good news for Israel. Do y'all believe that anybody who stood there that day, because all this happened right there, this is the same people. Do y'all believe that the people, anybody that day who was crying out, crucify him, anybody who spit on him, anybody who beat him with their fist, Anybody who plucked out his beard, anybody who placed the crown of thorns on him, anybody who stood at the foot of that cross jeering and mocking him, do you believe, based on that offer by Peter, could they have been saved? Yes or no? Absolutely. Would y'all agree that was good news? That was good news. He's alive, but he's offering you an opportunity, Israel, to be saved. You simply got to have a heart change. And you got to repent of what you did. Change your thinking. Align yourself with us. Prepare for when he comes back. Now, we have to understand something. Go to Romans. Last thing we'll look at. We'll be done. Romans 1. This is it. Romans 1. Next book. Next book of the Bible. Romans 1. And the word gospel is used, the word gospel is used in many different contexts in the Bible. Gospel just means good news. If you look at Romans 1, there's a phrase there I want you to look at. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the... Now notice what he calls it there. What's he call that? That's different, isn't it? You see, he calls it the gospel of Christ, but here he calls it the gospel of God. Well, what is that? Let's read on. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All right, notice he didn't call it the gospel of Christ. Remember, the gospel of Christ was given directly to him by Jesus Christ. He didn't get it from the prophets. He didn't get it from Peter, James, or John. The gospel of God is something that is in the prophets. Look at verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. That was all prophesied that would happen there in Bethlehem, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with what? Power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the, and what's that last phrase? Resurrection from the dead. Now here's what we got to get. I know I'm asking you to absorb a lot, but I want you to absorb this. Paul and the 12, after the resurrection, they all preached the gospel of God. Good timing right there, huh? They both preached. People are listening on the internet saying, what in the world? What's that all about? It just thundered. Anyway, so they both preached. What is the gospel of God? Well, you just read it. Christ was born of David, of the seed of David. He died. He was buried. But he what? Rose again. That's the gospel of God, period. Is the death, burial, and resurrection found in the prophets? Every aspect is, right. It's all back there in the Old Testament prophets. All the prophecies that he would die and he would rise from the dead. The gospel of God is simply that he died, buried, and rose again. Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ of the seed of David, died, buried, rose again. Now, what did Paul and the 12 preach should be the response to that good news? That's where we get into some difference, right? Because did Peter preach to Israel that he died but that he rose again? Did he preach that to Israel in Acts? Yes. But what did he teach their response should be? That he told them to repent of crucifying Christ. He told them to be water baptized. And he said, if you'll repent of crucifying Christ, and if you'll be let us baptize you, then you're going to get the Holy Spirit, and then your sins are going to be remitted when Christ comes back down to the earth. Is that what we preach to people, how to be saved today? No. If you ever hear me preach that, run me out of the church, all right? I don't stand up on Sunday morning and say, you want to be saved? Here's how you get saved. You repent of crucifying Christ. And you get water baptized, and then you'll get the Holy Spirit, and then one day when Christ comes back, your sins will be forgiven. That's not what we preach. But that's what Peter preached. that was good news to Israel. There was a way out for them. The judgment, man, he said, he's up there, but man, he's going to make his enemies his footstool. But there's hope for you guys. There's hope. Align with us. Get with us. Get with the little flock. Because he promised us the kingdom. Come with us. And that was good news. Now, what did Paul teach in the gospel of Christ as he went out and he preached to the Galatians and he went out and he preached to these Gentiles? What did he preach should be the response to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see the difference? The gospel of Christ. That was given to Paul. And to Paul was revealed all the wonderful provisions of what happened on the cross to make that possible for us to believe on him alone and be saved by faith alone. To Paul was revealed all the intricate details of that gospel, but it was given to Paul. So what I want you to see is that there's a difference. You know, and if you can get in your mind and understand the difference between Paul and the 12, it'll help you big time in your Bible study. And next week we're in Eli, aren't we? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue this series on Sunday evenings. And so we'll kind of move this to Sunday night so we can continue this. But that's enough for tonight. I think we'll stop right there. And next time we get together, we'll continue this. And I'm going to get, you know, deeper into this, and we'll look at some more differences between Paul and the 12. Remember what I said earlier. You want to understand your Bible. If you're serious, now if you don't care, then none of this matters. But if you care about understanding the Bible, and if you care about being true to it, and if you care about really, truly having a fruitful understanding, not just picking a verse for a devotion here or there, and just kind of, you know, taking a devotional approach to the Bible, and just kind of, oh, that verse sounds good, I'll take that one. Well, this one over here, I'll take. If you really are serious about the Bible, and you really want to understand it, you got to understand the distinct apostleship of Paul. And that's simply what I'm teaching you. I'm just trying to show you how distinct he was and that he is the apostle of the Gentiles.